Answers Magazine, Volume 12.6, page 64. The Museum of the Bible by Melissa Webb. Just three blocks from the heart of D.C., a new museum has risen that invites all people to take a closer look at the Bible. The Bible finds a home in the Capitol. "Say cheese," a tour leader tells her excited group posing in front of the Lincoln Memorial. Every year, an estimated 21 million people visit Washington, D.C. to see reminders of what made America great. From the White House and the looming Washington Monument to the museums telling the unique story of American history, the city offers more than you can take in on a single visit. But one thing is missing, or at least has been until this fall. Just three blocks away from the heart of D.C., a new museum is taking shape. This one isn't dedicated to pop culture, political history, or world-renowned art. Its goal is to invite all people to engage with the Bible. How could this happen today in a culture characterized by increasing biblical illiteracy? Gobbling up 430,000 square feet of precious Capitol real estate and costing an impressive $500 million, this one-of-a-kind nonprofit museum is opening November 17, 2017. Despite its imposing name, Museum of the Bible won't be filled with thousands of dusty old Bibles. Instead, it aims to be the world's most technologically advanced museum, with the purpose of inviting all people to engage with the Bible's narrative, history, and impact. Who had this vision and resources necessary to invest in a place like this? And how did they construct a building to honor the Bible at the very center of Washington, D.C.? Vision behind a Bible museum. Steve Green is best known as the openly Christian president of Hobby Lobby, the wildly successful arts and craft retailer whose stores seem to appear on every corner of small-town America. While everyone knows him for ribbons and craft glue, behind the scenes he has been amassing a mountain of Bibles and artifacts. Two close friends of Green suggested he take his thousands of artifacts and build a museum. Through a series of surveys, he decided that D.C. would be the best location for a Bible museum since it is the museum capital of the world and home to many of the world's most respected cultural and research institutions. The Bible is the best-selling, most translated book of all time and is arguably history's most significant piece of literature, Green says. It has had an unquestionable influence on science, education, democracy, arts, and society. This book has also profoundly impacted lives across the ages, including my own. Despite the increasing biblical illiteracy in the country, it is difficult to deny the Bible's central role in the history of Western culture and the nation. Green wants to attract guests of all faiths, and those who have professed no faith, to learn what the Bible says, discover its fascinating history, and learn about its significant impact on art, music, government, science, and more. Green sees the museum's role as simply presenting the Bible and letting its guests draw their own conclusions. In 2009, Green decided to pursue the idea of building a museum, but he couldn't do it all by himself. He asked someone who was intimately familiar with modern age, large-scale attractions, Carrie Summers, to oversee the launch of the museum and serve as president. Summers previously served as president and CEO of Herschend Family Entertainment, Silver Dollar City Corporation, one of the world's largest theme attraction operators. His first job was to find a big enough building. After 2 years of searching and bidding without success, Museum of the Bible bought an old historic refrigeration warehouse within three blocks of the U.S. Capitol building. To an untrained eye, it looked like an impossible task. Builders had to knock out every other floor, as well as create a basement foundation. But with some engineering wizardry, they managed in less than 3 years to rebuild the facility into the 8-story, state-of-the-art museum it is today. "These last few years have been a whirlwind," Summers admits, smiling. "I wake up every morning asking God, what amazing thing are you going to do today?" Now Summers can't wait to see what happens once the massive facility opens to the world in November. Out of this world technology. Museum of the Bible isn't a typical museum where you aimlessly walk around until you're ready to leave. From the beginning, Summers said leadership wanted to take the lead in next-generation museum experiences, with no holds barred and no expense spared. If the technology didn't exist, they would build it from scratch. They didn't simply want to imitate the best, most recent museums, but think ahead to what could be done with the technology and computer software now at our disposal. Each guest receives a personal digital guide, which makes it easy to plot their entire experience. The device's navigation and supplementary content serve as a tour guide through the museum, providing each person the chance to customize what interests them most in the time available for their visit and the flow of crowds that day. In addition, the system allows for 3D interactivity with biblical artifacts, as well as virtual and augmented reality. For example, you can turn the pages of a beautiful medieval manuscript or explore the caves where the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. The digital guide also contains audio content designed to help guests dive deeper into the narrative, history, and impact of the Bible, teaching the Bible's relevance today. Based on its humble beginnings as a private collection, you might expect the museum to display row after row of Green's artifacts. But the designers wanted a museum that appeals to everyone, not just history buffs. They wanted to combine technology and visual pizzazz in a way that moves people to understand the Bible's history and ongoing relevance today. Experience Washington Revelations. After you pass through an area of Bible-focused interactive games and activities for children, exhibits begin in earnest on the second floor. One experience is sure to astonish guests: Washington Revelations. It takes them on a virtual tour of all the places they've been in D.C. and highlights the Bible verses woven throughout many of the Capitol's historic landmarks. Washington Revelations is the first virtual experience of its kind in the U.S. 40 people at a time gather in an alcove where screens come to life and fly you around the Capitol. You soar past places like the Supreme Court, where the Ten Commandments catch your eye. You fly over Arlington National Cemetery, noticing the many biblical verses inscribed on gravestones of our nation's heroes. Zooming by the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, you see an inscription of Amos chapter 5, verse 24, a verse quoted in Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. You'll even fly inside the Library of Congress, where Micah chapter 6, verse 8, etched on the wall, declares, "What doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?" This virtual experience is designed to show the Bible's impact in America, Summers explains. Through it, we want our visitors to contemplate the fact many of them have been at the places before, but they've never noticed the Bible's impact and relevance. Hear the Old Testament accounts. The museum's narrative floor begins where it should, at the beginning. The Hebrew Bible walkthrough provides an immersive walk through major narratives in the Hebrew Bible. Guests first hear an audio narration and visual depiction of creation, the Garden of Eden, and Adam's fall into sin. The narration continues as guests walk through the accounts of Noah and the flood, Abraham and Isaac, the Israelites' crossing of the Red Sea, and David and Goliath, to name a few. Explore a first-century village. As you proceed, you are completely immersed in the world of Jesus of Nazareth. The Jewish village is designed to look like the one where Jesus walked, and it highlights agriculture, sheep, oil lamps, and other fascinating details of daily life. Museum guides, acting as villagers, will discuss the cultural and political realities of first-century Galilee. The narrative floor also features a New Testament theater with a stunning 270-degree screen. It showcases a 12-minute film highlighting various accounts from the Gospels and other New Testament books. Not just another book. An estimated 21 million people from all over the world visit the Capitol each year. Museum of the Bible, just steps from the National Mall and the U.S. Capitol, hopes to attract many of those visitors. Through a series of high-tech exhibits, immersive settings, and interactive experiences, the museum will share the Bible's impact, history, and narrative with guests of all ages, walks of life, and faith backgrounds. "It takes a world-class team to build a world-class museum," Summers remarked. "We've assembled just that. The best in architectural, interior, and environmental design to provide guests with an experience that is unique, innovative, customizable to each visitor's level of interest, and most of all, memorable." The museum has made extremely clear that it is open to people of all beliefs and will not evangelize. Yet Christians know that the simple communication of the Bible's content without elaboration will do more than simply teach another interesting facet of history. As Terry Mortensen, speaker and theologian at Answers in Genesis, says, you can't talk about the contents of the Bible without coming face to face with the claim that Jesus was a real person who walked this earth, died on a cross, and rose again. Christians know that this book is not like any other. It claims to be God's revealed word and to have supernatural power to convict of sin, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Simply by reading these words, people will see their need for salvation and God's loving plan to provide it through Jesus Christ. In a national capital split by political wrangling over the best way to solve the problems of the human condition, the citizenry needs to hear the biblical perspective. Believers should pray that God would bless this venture in ways the builders never imagined. Melissa Webb earned a degree in communication print journalism from Liberty University and spent 4 years working as a news writer for Liberty's News and Media Relations Office. She now edits for Answers Magazine.